The reading is from John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22.
When it was time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me."
The Jews then responded him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?"
Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days."
They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days. But this temple, he had spoken of, was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus has spoken."
This is the word of the Lord.
So much beautifully read. So I wonder, have you ever tried to watch something, but you couldn't see it properly because something or someone was in the way? Maybe you've been to the theatre and someone very tall has been sat in front of you, or a sports stadium like the image on the left. Or maybe you're trying to watch the television and someone stands in front of the screen at just the wrong moment. And it makes you really annoyed. You know, sometimes the problem isn't that the thing we want to see has disappeared. The problem is that something or someone is blocking our view. And that reading from John's gospel is about something getting in the way of people seeing God. So as we heard in that reading, Jesus had traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, and he'd gone to the temple. Why did Jesus go there? Well, Jesus was a Jew, he was a devout Jew, and he observed the law, which required them to travel to Jerusalem for the festival to celebrate the Exodus from Egypt. And the temple was meant to be the place where people went to meet with God, to pray and to worship. But when Jesus arrived, he encountered the complete opposite. Instead of a place of quiet prayer, there was a busy and huge marketplace. Imagine for a moment, as you came to Christchurch this morning and you came in through the doors, maybe expecting to see your children take place in the parade, or because you're a regular member of the church, and you come in and you suddenly find, what has that vicar done on his last Sunday? He's brought in loads of animals and they're running around the church. And in the north aisle, the church treasurer has set up a money changing table. And in the south aisle, instead of tea and cake for the service, there's loads of different market stalls. And instead of being a place of worship and prayer, it's actually become hugely noisy. And the smell, it's not unlike the abattoir on a hot and windy day at Slyfield. I wonder if you came in with the cacophony of noise and the smell, you would think, this is a place that I can worship this morning. This is a place I can come and just be quiet before my God. You know, there would have been animals everywhere, sheep, cattle and doves, tables full of coins, people shouting prices and exchanging money. It would have felt more like a market than a place of worship. The temple had become a place full of distractions. Now, the people were in the right place, but something important had happened. All the noise and the busyness had begun to get in the way of people seeing God. So Jesus does something really dramatic. He makes a whip out of cords and he begins to drive out the animals. He turns over the tables. I was going to have a table here and with lots of coins and throw them all, but I can imagine all the coins rolling everywhere. Maybe that was like that in the temple. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" Well, why was Jesus so upset? See, I don't think it was just about the animals or the money. Those things were part of the temple system at the time. The real problem that all these things had got in the way of people worshipping God, of seeing God. The place, the very place that was meant to help people see God, had become full of things that were blocking their view. And so Jesus was clearing the space so people could focus once again on what really mattered. I wonder what things today might get in the way of us seeing God. What about phones or screens? For many of us, we, if we're honest, we've become chained to them. I'm one of them. They almost have become, if you look at that picture on the far right at the top, an extension of our hands. But it might also be work, or making money, or worries, or rushing through life so quickly that we don't pause to notice God. God sort of slips out of view. Not that God's left or gone anywhere, we just can't see him. Might also be stubbornness, maybe, or skepticism, or pride, or disbelief, or an unwillingness to consider that Jesus just might be who he said he is, because it might mean that we might have to change our lives. And sometimes it's not even the bad things that get in the way, is it? They can be good things that gradually take over our lives and prevent us from seeing God, to the extent that we just don't bother to look for him anymore. And when our lives get too crowded, God becomes harder to see. It's a bit like trying to look at the stars in the night sky from the middle of a brightly lit city. The stars are still there, but the light makes them harder to see. And hopefully you can sort of see the contrast between those two pictures. Well, after Jesus had cleared the temple, some people challenged him. They asked him, "On what authority do you have this?" And Jesus gave them a pretty strange answer, didn't he? He said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days." Well, at the time, people thought, Jesus is talking about the stones of this temple, the building. But of course, later the disciples realized Jesus was talking about his own body, the temple referring to his body. He was pointing towards his death and resurrection. And of course, we're in this season of Lent where we are journeying towards the cross, to Jesus's death. We remember on Good Friday, to his resurrection, his rising from the tomb on Easter Sunday. But this moment when Jesus says, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise again in 3 days," Jesus is saying, "I am the place where you will truly meet God." And here's the thing. It doesn't need to be in a noisy marketplace or a special meeting, a building, to find God, to see God. Because Jesus brings God close to us. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible which says that Jesus is the visible presence of the invisible God. And I said this last week, if you want to see what God is like, you look at Jesus. Because Jesus tells us everything we need to know about God. I think this story, it's a story we sort of all know, Jesus turning over the money tables in the temple. But it's a story that invites us, doesn't it, to think about our own lives. Imagine for a moment your heart is like a room. There's a heart in full working order. Imagine your heart like a room, but over time that room begins to get cluttered. Yes, with our phones or our worries, our busyness, our distractions, everything piles that room and becomes messy and crowded. And when the room gets too full, it becomes hard to move around, doesn't it? You've got to sort of try and navigate your way in the room. And sometimes our hearts can feel like that too. But the good news is that Jesus comes and does what he did in the temple. He clears space in our hearts. He helps us let go of the things that block us from seeing God. He reminds us to slow down. He calls us back to a life of prayer. He helps us remember what really matters. You see, I've got a theory that when Jesus cleared the temple, he wasn't seeking to ruin people's day. But he was helping them see something better. He was helping them see God again. And Jesus is still doing the same today for us. And when we make space in our lives, when we pray, when we stop to help others, when we choose to love rather than hate, when we practice kindness, when we choose to forgive, when we pause and listen, we begin to notice God in places we'd forgotten he existed, in places we hadn't seen before. I wonder if any of you have ever watched this program, Sort Your Life Out. Anyone? See, Susie's going to admit it there, one or two others. Hosted by Stacey Solomon. It is bizarrely addictive. Should come with a health warning, really. If you've never watched it before, let me give you a brief summary. It helps families declutter by laying out all their belongings in a warehouse, requiring them to decide what to keep, what to sell, or recycle before a full home makeover. It is addictive. The good news this morning is that we don't need to apply to the show to get Stacey Solomon to help us to sort our lives out. Because Jesus has done that on the cross. It's Jesus who's brought us back into a relationship with God by dying on the cross in our place, taking all the wrong things that we've ever thought or done or said, so that we might be brought back into that relationship with God, that God may no longer be hidden from us. And by doing so, he reaches out his hand to us, offering us forgiveness and a fresh start in life. So two questions to finish. What are the things maybe that we need to declutter that are getting in the way of us seeing Jesus more in our lives? What are those things we need to declutter? And the second question is this: where might Jesus be helping us clear some space so that we can see more clearly, that we can see him more clearly? What do we need to declutter? Where might Jesus be helping us clear space? I want to finish with a simple prayer that I prayed many times in this church before. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to say that prayer in the quietness of your hearts. And it simply goes like this: Lord God, help me to see Jesus. For I know that when I see Jesus, my life will never be the same again. So let's pray. We started with a bit of a fun quiz, guessing celebrities hidden by fruit. But when we think about our own lives, we know there are things which have got in the way of us seeing God. Maybe for some of us, that cluttering begins here this morning. Maybe that desire to see God through fresh eyes begins here. If that's you, I invite you just to say this prayer in the quietness of your hearts, just to yourself. Loving God, help me to see Jesus. For I know that when I see Jesus, my life can never be the same again. Amen. Just before the band come up, or as the band comes up to our next song, I just want to say that do take an opportunity to pray with someone at the end of the service. There'll be members of our prayer ministry team in that. Come and chat to me. I'll be at the door at the back. I'd love to encourage you and to pray with you. Thank you.